Hello everyone. It's been a very, very, very long time since we've last talked, and I'm sure a lot has happened, but I'm going to focus on some of the things that have happened. Despite me having a girlfriend, I did fuck my ex. And it felt good. I wanted to be around her. I wanted to touch her body. And I still love my girlfriend. But this is like weeks and weeks ago, and it was crazy that I still got away with it, honestly. But I just still truly believe I can have feelings for multiple people. And my heart's still fully invested into my girlfriend, but I definitely need more when it comes to sexual experiences that my other girl can provide for me, you know? And I need it. And even my ex has a boyfriend, and she liked fucking me too. And it felt good to hear that. And both of us knew that we won't interfere in our relationships. And I really miss my other girl, because she's on a trip somewhere. And I miss her a lot. And I want her to come home so I can lay with her and lay with my woman, you know, lay with my main girl too at some point. But other than that, stuff has been all over the place. I've been trying to catch up with business paperwork, with my teaching business, and I had to pull back on work for that. So it was nice that I was able to do that and have full cooperation. Now it's a matter of making sure all the taxes are sorted out so I don't have to worry about this stuff really happening again, you know? And then I did go on a trip to Minnesota with my girlfriend, and that was amazing. That was a few weeks ago before I saw my ex. And it was crazy. Like, the ice was beyond anything I could have ever seen. It was so slippery to the point where I was falling onto the ground. Almost falling on the ground. And seeing the Mall of America for the first time was a sight to see, and just walking a fraction of that was insane in itself. And I can't imagine any other way of, like, really going through that. On another day, I did go to the Prince Museum, and that was incredible. And we got to do so much in so little time, or not even that, so little time. And honestly, I'm really, really tired, so I actually might catch up with the story and take a break after these 5 minutes and do it another time or do it another day. Because honestly, as much as I am wanting to do this, I'm not really in the mood right now to fully go invested in it, you know. But I will catch up as much as I can after this break, and we will resume on another day, okay? Bye. Hey, it's Roby again. In the last couple days have been pretty good for the most part. I have been teaching very well. A lot of my students have been a great example of just following through and just being good leaders overall. There was a moment where we had lots of kids outside, if not a good majority of the kids outside. And the only thing that I could really think of is like how chaotic it was. There were kids playing tag outside. They're running around, pushing, shoving each other. I had to go in there and actually, like, disperse it a little bit and make sure everyone was going okay. And then we had one of these kids that get into a fit and really get angry at another child because they were poking fun at him. And I had to hold them back for a second and actually calm him down. So he did. And then I had to help a few kids out with their I don't know. I'm actually getting distracted by a lot of other stuff that's on my mind. So maybe I'll come back to the topic of that. Because as of right now, I had a really long conversation with my girlfriend and what her living situation is and how she's having a tough time being there or being here in Massachusetts when she's from Minnesota and she doesn't know if she wants to pursue her schooling and other things going on, and like what she wants to do to live here, if she does that, or if she does a gap year and live here still, like what her job will look like and how she might want to move in with me, and with everything that's going on with her mentally, like I'm really on the fence of like doing this with her, because her depression can be so much for me. It brings down my mood. And it's not like she's being mean or anything about it, but like her aura is like so strong with her depression. Like it just leaves me like with a sense of just like sorrow sometimes, and like I don't have any other way of like helping her, and it makes me feel helpless about myself, and it like puts my mood down, and it sucks, honestly. Like I hate it, not gonna lie.
Like, I really want to be with a partner that has more confidence than what she has currently right now. And it's hard to hope for improvement, honestly. And it's kind of hard to speak on this because I am currently still talking to my ex and fucking and having sex with her. And my girlfriend doesn't know about it, honestly. And it's tough. So it doesn't make me a good person, but it doesn't make me a horrible person at the same time. Or maybe my morals are, like, so fixed in lies that I don't know what to do anymore. You know? And it's also difficult in my position because my ex, or the girl I'm still talking to, is, like, away and on her retreat somewhere. And, yeah, like, somewhere in Los Angeles, and I miss her a lot, and she's not been, like, responding as of, like, the last week and a half or so, and I'm just trying to just work with that, you know, and be supportive with my actual girlfriend and, you know, just work at it. But I miss both of them a lot, and I wish I could just have them, like, really in the same place at the same time. But that I know wouldn't work out. And I wish I could hold both of them really close and kiss both of them. I really do have feelings for both. But I don't think either will really understand how much love I have for both of them. I like this sense idea that I can share my love with two people, but I know that it probably will never happen. And that's difficult to hear. Because I tried to have that with my previous partner, but it didn't work out. Or maybe it's like me trying to experiment it and not know if I actually like it or not, because even with me, like, I like the idea of having myself have two or more partners, you know, mostly just two, honestly, and go about life together. But I struggle with someone else having it, especially my female partner having a male partner. But if I actually liked him, I probably would allow him to be around her and engage and stuff, you know. But maybe there's also, like, a sense of shame and other stuff that, like, within masculinity about having sex and stuff, and the aspect of love that's involved with her boyfriend now, it's tough sometimes. I wouldn't even say sometimes. It's a lot. But the good thing now is, like, I'm not comparing myself as much to him, and I know she's in a better place with him. And, I don't have to worry about her being in danger from the older man that she used to date and really get scared of him. So, I'm glad she's in a better position for herself, mentally, you know. But she can still see me, and I can still see that she still has a sense of love for me, but I don't think she'll really ever, I don't think either one will really understand how much I love for both of them. Especially you, baby. I know you hear me. It's hard sometimes when you're away. Not sometimes, it's hard a lot. And when you get around to hearing this, maybe you're not talking to me today or the next couple of days, but you pick up on this podcast, and I hope you're doing okay. Live in the sunlight and getting golden on the beach, hanging out by yourself, or even if you're actually with him and you were too afraid to tell me, it's okay. I want to make sure you're doing okay. And we all have our lives now, and we're growing up, we're getting older. There's a sense of responsibility that needs to be done, no matter who we love and whoever we're following in our lives, and making sure that we get what we needed from our friendships, our partners, and just relationships in general in our life. So, it does suck to not hear you as frequent, but I gotta work with it. I gotta work with what I got and do what I gotta do. In the meantime, I've been having job opportunities come up. Some have been like good interviews, and then like I'll do my references and then they never call back, or I'll apply to places and they just don't contact me back, or they said that they move on with the process, and it's going better than what I thought. There's this place in Boston that I was able to like nab an interview, and even despite having it rescheduled like once because there was work stuff going on and I was in a rush, I was able to have this good conversation with the main advisor of this place. And even though it has shorter hours by a lot, I think it would be nice to just pull back my hours and work at this place, you know, just for the time being. And I think it would be exciting just to have to work there. And I don't know, it's just a sense of creativity that this place has, and wonder, I'm hoping that I can just do a tour and see it for myself, you know. I hope I get it. I hope I really do get it, because when I'm looking around at the apartments, even with my girlfriend, these prices are so scary, baby. They're so scary. And, I'm doing my best to get a handle on everything and what I can do to help, Because I can see how my girlfriend's getting overstressed and burnt out from dealing with everything already from school and stuff, and then having to look for stuff for the first time while I'm working and coming home and getting tired from that and not feeling the urge to do so, or feeling like she's got it covered, but it's wrong for me to do that, you know? So I'm trying to relieve it or provide some kind of relief and lift up the responsibility on her back and look around with her. And hopefully I can see her tomorrow and just support her and we can work on this together while I look at other jobs and also cover paperwork for my business. And I can't really go into details as of that because of what the accountant recommended for me to do and what we plan on doing with my client and his parents. So I can't actually speak on that as of right now, but once it's sorted out, maybe I can. I've grown fascinated by these, what are they called? Magic squares from Arabic culture, from like thousands and thousands of years, like these occult, like OCCULT kind of like things, of how all these numbers, like on a 3x3 square, all add up to 15 in different rows. And like each one can like relate to planets and time, and these can be like casting as spells, and like they're so beautiful to look at with the Arabic numbers, the way it's written, and also just regular numbers, they're fascinating just to see. And I would just be fixated on just the font alone of Arabic and ancient languages that are locked in, and all the books I've been reading have been relaxing, and it's been a big mood change for me now, is like not having to use as much technology. I'm switching over to traditional watches. I'm not worrying about what texts are being sent. I'm not fixating on when my ex is texting me and missing her, and then also missing my girlfriend, and just the longing of like attention that I want from both of these girls, like these partners I have, you know. And then also searching for other partners, you know, so I don't feel like I'm getting ignored. And maybe that's just a thing I have to work on, just like being with myself and finding the time to work out more again and not have to feel as tired. And I've made such big progress with my driving anxiety, and I feel really comfortable now, or getting more comfortable, that I can like start exploring on my own and doing other things and supporting my girlfriend. And even like last Sunday, like my girlfriend came over and met my sister, and that was phenomenal, and I loved the experience of that and what got out of that. And my girlfriend really enjoyed my sister, and my sister liked my girlfriend's company, and I was super happy for both of them to be around each other. It's overall, like, I've been in a better mood, even though my girlfriend's been really in a down state for a while, if not more than ever, just with everything going on. I still won't let it get me down, and I've been getting a lot of good positivity as a teacher, and being reinforced with working with my coworkers and what they see in me and what I see in them, and like explaining how I feel about working here and being honest about having to move jobs, and they're really supportive of that. And one of them has just been like really, really strong with just making sure I feel welcome and inviting me to have conversations about movies and TV shows, because she even recommended Swarm and all that kind of stuff. And I like even have like not even like a big crush on her, just because she's just very attractive and beautiful. And like both of them, like both of the coworkers I hang out the most, like I could definitely see myself having big crushes for, but I know one of them has a boyfriend, you know, but the other one is uncertain. And the way she just like carries herself around me, and she'll like touch my shoulder and stuff, and like I like that. And the way she just talks about certain things with passion and joy, and she makes herself feel grateful and no matter the situation. And I don't know, like, she has an energy that makes you feel good. But I know that, like, I already have so much going on. Like, I would love to just, like, hang out with her and just see what she's like outside of this, and just me and her, you know. But that just says a lot about my character. Maybe I just want to, like, find love in a different way and see people in different ways. I don't even know how to describe myself. I think I'm a very loving person, but I just don't know how to go about it in a way where I'm not affecting people in such a horrific way, you know? Because I know I can never tell my girlfriend about any of this. And chatter. But I know deep down inside I'm not a horrible person, and this is just something I have to adjust and work with. And we can go from there, and if I really am up to it, I will let her know, you know. Otherwise, I can just let my ex go if I feel like that's not working either, and we can go from there. But I remember when I was with my ex, I was at a hotel with her, and I think we had like a moment where like I got real with her, but we went back to normal after. But there was definitely like a sense of honesty about like what we saw ourselves in the future, and how scary it was for each other to have this idea that we could be moving away. And it made her sad, like with the idea of like me being gone before her, you know. And it made me sad too, but like it also made me happy to like understand like she would miss me a lot. Cause I sometimes, baby, I feel like I don't think you would really miss me as much as I would miss you. And maybe I'm wrong in thinking of that, and I'm overthinking. With everything I've been through with you, it's sometimes hard to believe that you always loved me and what you thought of me. I trust some ideas, but I think now we're in the position where we can be fully honest with each other because we're outside of our relationship. and we're with other people, we can, like, really get frank and candid, you know? And I know both of us don't ever want to affect each other's relationships, and we still want to see each other, so I think we can stick to that plan, but I don't think you'll ever really truly understand how much I love you. And I've kind of just grown to accept that you'll never know. And I wish we could be under the stars talking. Just sitting down, whether on grass or something, or like a fucking chair, standing on a porch, smoking, and just having that moment where I can take my watch off, my necklace, and just let time go wherever. I'm not asking for time to stop necessarily, but just for me to not acknowledge its existence. Because when I go to those memories of us, or for my girlfriend, I never look at my watch. I never want to think about what time it is when I see your eyes, the way you make me feel. Those memories get me lost forever. That presence, being present with you, thinking of that future, gets me lost in that nostalgia. And I never want it to fucking end. And I think there is a beauty in that. And I also think it's helpful for me to grow through these relationships without feeling like ashamed or anything like that, no matter what dimension or what time I'm in. You know, I feel like there's endless versions of me going through maybe the right path or the wrong paths in life. And I think with this one, I am going on a path where I know deep wholeheartedly I'm not a horrible person, but I do make poor decisions. But at the same time, these decisions are what makes me feel good and makes me happy. And I don't want to stop seeing you, and I don't want to stop seeing her. So I will do what needs to be done. Because now I'm at a point where my kids are doing okay. I'm doing okay. The girls I'm taking care of, my girlfriend, my ex, are doing okay. Well, my girlfriend is a different story, but my act in taking care of them are doing okay. My sister's doing well and better. My family's doing okay. My dad is sending me text messages of wishing me good morning and having a good day, and that's something new. And my role as a leader, seeing myself like talk to this new coworker and finding out she's from the town I grew up with. And we rode the train together, and she's quite the fucking chatterbox. But I enjoyed it that I was able to be like really patient and remind myself, oh, I don't really talk that much, and I can be often very stoic. So I think it was a nice refresher for me to express myself to a person that may have perceived me in a different light, because she even said that she could not get a feel of who I was as a person with my facial expressions and how I display my emotion to the world. It's very difficult. And I think I was very happy to hear that she was very open and very direct and very at peace with just meeting me for the first time. And she said, oh, I'm a hugger, and like gave me like a few hugs, and they were nice. And it felt like a big brother energy with me and her, even though she was older and probably has more experience than me, you know. But very welcoming energy nonetheless, and I was glad that I provided a sense of security and calmness to her that she was not really able to see with the work that we're in, you know. But I think as of right now, I'm in a better place. I'm doing okay. And as of right now, this is recording on Friday the 24th at like 12 a.m. Eastern time. So the last couple of days have been reporting on from March 19th up till now. So I'm still going to follow up with the next couple of days, and I will let you know how those days go and hopefully publish this on Sunday or Monday. Okay? That way I can make the episodes a little longer and I get more thoughts that are in depth and day of. So my thoughts are still fresh in my mind, and if not, we can always wrap up from there. Okay? I'll check in with you guys later. Bye-bye. I'm back. It's 5:48 on a Sunday. It's really early in the morning. I had to wake up around like 1 just because I was sleeping at my girlfriend's place and I missed the train, and there was already a lot of like shuttles and trains I was on. I just didn't feel like fucking going to that. It was rainy. It was very bleh. And I just stayed inside for the most part. I wanted to go out, catch up, do shit, go to the boba spot that we usually go to, but it was already like closing time for that shop. I had leftovers from the night before, and I was able to eat that. It was like drunken noodle with chicken and all kinds of spices and peppers. It was good. We watched something Disney related. What did we watch? Oh, yeah, 10 Things I Hate About You. Remember, we watched that for a bit, and she popped an edible that I bought for her. And we chilled. I took one for myself, but only one because I knew I was going to have to drive home later. Had some like really overly sugary Truly. And then, yeah, like, watched a few things, did some stuff.
then I remember, like, we were watching something and I passed out in and out of sleep. And I appreciated how much I was getting higher, and the romantic side of me just holding her and hugging her was, like, enough for the night. And it made me feel close for once, and was able just to hug somebody I cared about, you know? And having to break out of that and wake up, being told I have to get up, only to spend like $40-something on a fucking Uber to a parking lot, garage, and then drive myself home. It was frustrating. I wanted to stay in her arms, hold her, hold someone that I can feel at peace with, you know? And then when I got back and got settled in, I watched the TV show on Prime, Amazon Prime, Prime Video, I should say. Swarm, which is the latest television show created, produced, written by Donald Glover, who helped create Atlanta. And this show is like Atlanta, undescribable in a way. Different. Surreal. Unforgettable. Uncomfortable. Entrancing. Scary, honest, truthful, and it covers the story of this woman, Andrea, or named Dre, who is really close to her sister and goes through the roughest night of her life. And right after this, the spoilers ahead. So if you haven't seen the show, I'm going to talk about it right now because it relates to stuff that is personal to me. So again, if you have not seen Swarm, I highly recommend you do, but just brace yourself because a lot of the topics I'm talking about are violent, aggressive, and focus on trauma. And murder and all kinds of stuff. So this story picks up with Dre trying to get these fascination, what am I saying? She's trying to pick up these tickets for her favorite artist, Naja, which is loosely based on Beyonce, Rihanna, really big pop artists, mostly focused on Beyonce. And she buys these tickets for her sister to bond and go over. But her sister is going through a different period of her life where she's trying to move on and try to explore her life outside of her sister, but it seems like, or actually just outside of Dre. And I should say Marissa. Marissa is Dre's sister. And Marissa gets caught up with her most recent boyfriend. And the boyfriend is really shitty. He comes on to Dre a lot and like being overly sexual and creepy. And it takes a toll on both of them because Andrea wants her sister Marissa to know that, like, this isn't okay, like, this relationship is fucked up, like, she wants to get her out. But by the time she shows Marissa these surprise tickets to Naja that she spent, like, thousands of dollars of money for, she finds herself with Marissa running out the house because she can't do this anymore. She's, like, out of focus. She's, like, not, she's denying what she's hearing from Andrea, and it only spirals out of control from there, leading to a point where Marissa leaves and Andrea goes on this, like, oh, like, I'm fine kind of, like, phase. Goes out to parties and, like, fucks some guy, and her phone dies because she didn't bring her charger. Only to wake up to, like, hundreds of texts from her sister Marissa saying, like, okay, I'm sorry, like, Khalid, like, the boyfriend cheated on me, like, I'm really sorry, I really need you, and, like, just never got those messages through because Dre's phone died. And by the time Dre gets home is that her sister committed suicide from an overdose. And this was what therefore starts our story with Dre going down this serial killer path. And the fascinating thing, though, is that throughout the whole story, there's not really much known about her, but you get to see these critiques of different people, of cultures and subcultures, and it bends with reality and what is seen. You see how junk food affects her, because she kills Khalid, that boyfriend of Marissa, out of spite and vindictive love for his sister, and finds herself, like, in this violent and carnal mode of survival and aggression, where she's blending violence and pleasure together from delusional disassociation. And it's, like, so fucked, because at the same time that she's going on, like, this vindictive, loving warpath of bloodlust and love, she's living this idea that she's doing this for Naja and her sister, Marissa, the two people or two things in life that have been holding her together like glue, because she sees all these people that are saying crazy stuff. Like, there's a white girl that says that she's mixed because her dad is half black, and, like, trying to talk like a black woman, or, like, stereotypical stuff, and, like, taking culture. There's conservative ladies, like, holding against her. There's black men that's yelling at her and blaming her sister to kill herself, and focuses on black Twitter. And then there's, like, people that she's getting reunions with or friendships, and she's lying about what she's actually doing, killing people that she's having conversations with and seeing their sides of the story, leaving strippers behind and that were living in excess, and seeing different kinds of critiques of people that aren't perceived as mentally ill, but their decisions and choices are still wrongful. You know? Like, Andrea is a serial killer at the end of the day, delusional or not. But I feel like Donald did a really good job of still allowing people to see different kinds of bad shit that happen, because you don't have to be crazy to do a bad thing. You don't have to be mentally ill to do bad shit to bad people or good people, just people in general. And I think there's a good focus on that, because there's an episode 6, that focuses on trying to piece together the story of Andrea and her sister and who she is as a person. You find out that she's adopted, that she's been dissociating since she was little. She was bullied. The only one who really had her back was her sister. Her father, her adoptive father, was very homophobic and probably saw Andrea as nothing but worthlessness and being ashamed of her for her sexuality, because even previous episodes before, it seems like Andrea was opening up to this kind of like cult leader played by Billie Eilish, surprisingly. And even then, you get to see sides of her that weren't told before. And how these truths affect her and how her past has affected her in general. And there's like a geniusness with how perception is perceived in the show, and how her vision of things is blurred by love and violence and confusion through her own delusions. Because in that, there's plenty of episodes where she sees something and then happens to do the other, where it seems like she's eating a plum and being with Nyjah for the first time, her idol, and seeing her for the first time at a club. But then she has this a moment of awareness and wakes up out of it, and she has bitten Nyjah and she's running out of the club. And then she's seeing, when you go and meet her father, her adoptive father, you see him for what he is, and like this guy that's very bigoted and very ashamed and very just hateful towards her and always blamed her, along with the wife, the adoptive mother, before their daughter's death, Marissa. And the interesting thing is later in that detective episode, episode 6, where you get to learn more about her, you actually see that there's an older version and they've always looked older, but because Andrea's only seen them for who they are, it shows them in older pictures of like them younger and what she probably saw them as when she was growing up. As hateful, unsupportive, aggressive, unreliable, non-welcoming, not empathetic. Or at least the father. Because at least you can see moments that there's gray hairs in the woman, that you know that she's trying, but she's not trying enough. But the father was always young when she perceived him, what she saw of him. And like, this show gets you so, so uncomfortable with truth. And like, just with episode 6 alone covers a lot of what the show means, honestly. Because there is a woman that is going through how should I even say it? The whole episode, like episode 6, is a detective going through all the cases and like stringing it together. But she comes across finally some kind of pace and evidence that leads to maybe Dre, and goes to, I think, a social worker of some sort. And the social worker just spits the absolute truth. Because she gets so frustrated with this detective asking for questions and keeps annoying her about stuff that she just cannot say. Because it's a social worker, there's state work, and there's files that just cannot be released to the public. And the cameraman gets so frustrated that he just belts out something like, "Why are you hiding? Like, what are you doing this?" And the social worker just gets so real within saying, "Why do you care? All of a sudden, you just want to absolve yourself and find reason that she's crazy so you don't have to deal with the problems that this child has went through." And she always describes, like, this woman, the social worker, doesn't want to describe them as just violent people. She says it, that she's been doing this for 30 years and she's just seen what these children have been through and what Andrea probably went through, and they never say exactly what Andrea went through. It's unknown, and that's kind of the beauty of it, is because even those cases back then, a lot of social workers don't know a lot of the information that's given to them. Some of these families that adopt and don't get what to see is, the public doesn't get to see what it is. You kind of just left with what is shown and told in the show. But I think it's awesome because that social worker really brings up a good point. And a lot of these pages and YouTube channels aren't really focusing on that episode for what it is. It's like a crucial key into like what Andrea is as a person. And you can see there's a lot of forbiddenness through the episode, from the way she bites the plum from Adam and Eve, and being her just like being described as a like hurtful words as a lesbian and slurs. Being ostracized for being a black woman. It really acknowledges the fact that even with everything that she's done, she still is a person. And within episode 6, you find out that she finally gets caught. And she's being perceived as a man named Tony. And going by that name. So it skips to episode 7. And you realize she, or going by now he, Tony, Andre, or Dre, is feeling more like themselves. They cut their hair, they have a fade, short hair, got more of a tomboy masculine dress. They're calmer now. They're not fixating over the phone that their sister left behind that fucks with their head. They found a new partner. There's a lot of similarities, though, with the partner and her sister. And you start to realize that there was probably a romantic attraction towards her actual adoptive sister from the beginning, and how she finally can live that dream again with this new woman that she's met. And Dre is fascinated and wanting to love her new partner. And it seems like she's starting to get things right. Until she cycles back and buys Nyjah tickets. And this new partner does not take this well. She's pissed, understandably so. She spent $4,000. Like, Andre, like, spent $4,000 on these tickets alone and, like, fucked her up mentally, because, like, Andrea's partner has been supporting her the whole time, because Andrea is so invested and so deep in, like, killing people and letting her urges go that she can't be herself anymore, like her regular identity. She has to live within this Tony that she actually is proud of, but now she has to do it all over again because she finds herself empty, the person she thought she loved and trusted and put her voice into again, like how much she loved Nyjah and her sister. She put it into this partner's hands and it failed, or she felt like it failed, and she strangled her, killed her, and then still tried to go to the Nyjah show, even though she burnt the tickets while disposing the body. And then you find out it's just been a fantasy. It just covers the events that was covered in the previous episode, in episode 6, that she got arrested during jumping off the stage. And you see this moment where Dre is meeting with her idol, finally. This idol that she's been perceiving as a goddess for so long. But the fucked up part is that it's not Nyjah's face. Nyjah's face looks completely different, and it's shown in the first episodes. It's actually her sister's face, Marissa. And how all of this sense of love has finally been blended together. And how much she's just been looking for that since she was little. I think this show is very good. Would I recommend it to everyone? I don't think so. Just because it does make you unsettled by some of the violence that's portrayed in it, and it's so well done. It definitely made me uncomfortable, and it made me more honest with myself. I had a lot of things click together, especially with what that social worker character said, and then just perceiving partners in a different light, and how I perceive violence and love. The show made me really honest with myself. Especially realizing how much violence with women makes me uncomfortable, whether it is a violence against a woman or a violent woman, that I've realized makes me uncomfortable, because I think it just reminds me of my mom or an ex of mine that actually physically abused me, mentally abused me when I was younger. And watching this really late in the morning, like pitch black out, and thinking about like the violent stuff and everything and the anxiety that I got from it, like I was just being honest with myself. I think I still am really like afraid of the dark. I think I just been denying it so long since I was little, like I could get through it. But darkness itself, just out in the woods or out in the street that you don't know, in a place you don't know, an environment you don't know, that made me uncomfortable. Even in my own home, like tonight or a few hours ago, it made me uncomfortable. So now I have like campfire sounds and a visual just to keep me calm, and it has. And the show has also made me perceive food addiction differently and how it affects people. And there were a lot of points brought up in one video I saw that junk food is a big thing that arcs the show, and how she's eating like really garbage junk food, and a lot of like film critiques have studied that, like a lot of serial killers thought the same thing and they ate similar things. They liked junk food, or they ate odd in a different way or in some kind of weird way. And how food gives us pleasure, whether it's healthy or not. And how junk food can affect our gut, and the gut can really affect our brain and how we perceive things, and how it poisons it unknowingly, and our moods start to change and swing back and forth. And you can see that and make us lethargic, angry, irritable, whether it's sugar, salt, processed foods, drinks. Even she's like a character that doesn't drink, but she's psychotic, you know, but she's fine with weed. It's a very interesting show, to say the least. And I think anyone should be able to watch it and get their perspective out and see how they feel, because I think it's beautifully shot. And I don't want to like put too much emphasis on the ending, because a lot of people got confused by it, but I think I get it. But I get why people are confused and, like, probably frustrated with. But artistically, I think it was very beautiful. Would I watch this again? Probably not, just because some of the violence does get me unsettled, and I'm actually getting more in a stage of life where I don't feel like I should be watching all that stuff a lot. It makes me uncomfortable watching long periods of time with just violence, especially women doing violent acts, because I don't know. Probably stuff with my mom and the whole stereotype of the gentle woman and how they're not supposed to hurt one another and stuff like that, but people are people, you know. Human capabilities are beyond gender and sexuality. The rest I really want for people just to decide for themselves and to get input, but I have to really credit my coworker with this, and I definitely will be speaking to her about it at some point in person or over text, and hopefully following up with anything about it, you know. Other than that, like, other things in my mind that have been making a difference is honestly just pulling back on the traditional terms of teaching. In my school, the last couple of days have been going really smooth just because I've been teaching in a different way. Back to the way that I usually teach. And the kids have been doing better at it, and my kids have been listening to me more and been interested in what I have to say more, which I'm happy to hear. And I also think it's just me trying to find other jobs and other careers that I feel a lot better looking for things. It's making me feel less stressed. Even though with all the paperwork that I have to do for my business and what that entails, I know I got this. And I know even if I miss my girlfriend or my ex, I know I got this, you know. And that I can be honest with myself and what I'm afraid of and what I love. It makes me want to do more. And even just the act of me driving more and more, I'm very proud of, because I was so anxious, and I'm still anxious, but I'm getting so comfortable with the road that I'm singing music and blasting it in my car and coming home in my own terms and cooking and cleaning and providing and getting stuff that I need for myself and nurturing myself in the way I feel like I wanted it to be nurtured. Not feeling guilty about what I like and what I do. And feeling soft for once. I always joke that it's like I'm in my soft boy era, not soft girl. So I don't have to be as firm. Not so cold. And I think it's helping me release a lot of anger and frustration. Even just this simple act of me bringing a book when I go and travel to work has relaxed me, and listening to cinematic music
has relaxed me. I'm not listening to hype rap music all day and hype metal music and just amping me up all day. I can't always do that. And just changing music in general gets you out of a space that's doesn't make you feel like you're in Groundhog Day. Food too, even though I'm spending a little more, I feel more rested, I feel happier, even if it's junk food sometimes, I feel more nourished, I'm at a more peaceful mood with my kids, and I teach better because of it. And I think I might go on a walk. Because I hear the birds tweeting. I love birds. Baby, I'm smiling so hard. I know you can feel it. It's one of those things that you can just feel without seeing. I feel in my eyes, I feel in my face, I feel in my soul. I hope I can wake up next to you here in birds. Here in campfire. Not having to worry about what time it is or what the fucking bills are. I just want to get lost in a moment with you. So I hope wherever you are, traveling or not, that you're doing okay. Or anyone that's listening to this, I hope that you're doing okay. I know shit's getting hard, and with all the fucking shit on the news that I've seen with the banks and stuff in the US and everything going on with Russia, Ukraine, and I don't know. It's hard to keep up with all of that. So I often just get lost in books instead. I just know I can't be down that rabbit hole for so long. So, yeah. I hope that anyone that's listening to this gets some kind of piece of advice or peace in general from this. And I wish you well. I love you guys. I love you, baby. Have a good night.